Hello and welcome to another hour of the Ben Maller Show podcast. This hour number three, if you're keeping track, we hope you downloaded the other hours. But this hour on the podcast, the Greek Freak has a hissy fit in an incident with the Brooklyn Nets and a scrub on the Nets. Have the NBA teams now found a glitch in the Greek Freak's game? We examine that and some other relevant stories right now, this hour on the podcast. Some old-fashioned bubble theatrics to discuss. Welcome in the beginning of another hour. It's the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere. The vast and ever-expanding Fox Sports Radio empire, coast-to-coast, border-to-border. But don't forget, we are live and local, right there in your head, in your eardrums. It's a great thing about radio. Most people listen to the radio alone. It's one of the forms of media you do that. People watch stuff together, television, even streaming stuff. Obviously, you watch that. It's basically the same thing. It's just a different delivery tool. But radio, most people are alone when they're listening to the radio. But I like to think that there's people huddled around the radio. In my head, you're all huddled around, cuddled up, listening to every word, which, of course, is not true. Although we're apart these days, we're sharing more, and Geico is sharing more, too, with the Geico Give Back. A 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for both current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. So it's been weird here. We're doing the overnight show, and I'm used to daytime baseball. I'm used to getting up and watching a ball game and listening to a game, whatever. But the NBA, because they only have three arenas and before they close everything down and start the playoffs, they don't have enough space. So they've been playing these afternoon games in the bubble in the NBA. And it was an afternoon affair. I was listening to as I was wandering around here in the Mickey Mouse bubble there in Orlando. The lowly Brooklyn Nets playing the mighty Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks currently number one in the entire NBA.
Number one.
Now, the Nets, who are scratching and clawing, but no one really thinks they're going to make the playoffs, right? I mean, they shouldn't make the playoffs. That roster is disgusting, and they got a shot. But the Nets, without their eight best players, many of them decided they didn't want to play in the bubble or opted out. Guys like Kevin Durant could have come back, chose not to come. Kyrie Irving could have conceivably come back, didn't come back. So anyway, there were a couple other guys there, depending on who you believe, that could have played, that chose not to. They also had their ninth best player, arguably, who only played 5 minutes and left the game because of an injury situation. And yet, that Nets team was able to slay the dragon that is the Bucks, a 19-point underdog, the Brooklyn Rejects, pull off the biggest single one-game point spread upset since the early 90s, since 1993. It's the biggest upset point spread-wise since the Dallas Mavericks went into Seattle and took down the Supersonics, who were a 19.5-point favorite. That was on April 4th, 1993. That Maverick team was horrific. They had Jim Jackson, Derek Harper. The season started with Richie Adubato as the coach. They got rid of him. I believe Gar Hurd was the coach when this happened. The late, great Sean Rooks, may he rest in peace, good guy there, was the Mavericks center. And they beat a Sonic team that featured the likes of Gary Payton, Sean Kemp, and Ricky Pierce. And that had been the biggest upset until Brooklyn knocked off Milwaukee. Now, we had told you that this is an opportunity. There's some funny business happening in this bubble, that if you're an underdog gambler, this is an opportunity for you to cash in, because you don't know who's checked out and who's ready to go and who just wants to get this stupid thing over with so they can leave the bubble and go eat chicken wings without people breathing down their necks, et cetera, et cetera. So as far as the Nets upset over the Bucks, it does come with a disclaimer that the Milwaukee Bucks did not play Giannis Antetokounmpo or Chris Middleton, their two top players. They were spectators in the second half. Now, allegedly, Mike Budenholzer, the Milwaukee coach, he claimed He was just treating the second half as a glorified practice for the backups to see what he had. Of course, that's known as a spinny McSpin is what that is.
Practice.
That's right. Not a game. We're talking about practice. But something happened in the first half that is more interesting than the upset itself, in my opinion. It involves Antetokounmpo. All right. Now, if you didn't watch the game, and if you have normal hours, chances are you're a podcast listener, but if you missed it, perhaps you did. Giannis Antetokounmpo, affectionately known by his nickname, the Greek Freak, and a Brooklyn Nets player by the name of Dante Hall, played college basketball at Alabama, they got into a ruckus, a scuffle, a mini Donnybrook. It happened during the second quarter. Obviously, couldn't happen in the second half because Giannis did not play in the second half. But in the second quarter, it was about 5 minutes or so on the clock, and they were fighting for position underneath the basket, trying to get in position to get a rebound. And this guy, Dante Hall, came over, and he knocked Antetokounmpo to the ground, and that's where things got good because Giannis then jumped back up to his feet and had to be restrained by an official and other players. And just to prove I'm not making this up, let's go to the audio tape. Here's how it sounded on the Fox Sports Milwaukee feed.
Jeremiah Martin.
Dante Hall and Giannis. Giannis, again, rarely did you see Giannis get that upset. I think it was Hall just kind of doing a little alligator wrestling down there, trying to box out. Got a little too over aggressive with the box out. A good look at it here. Boxing him out here. And that right elbow of Hall was right near the throat of Giannis. Kind of carried it high. Giannis took umbrage. What's that right there? You see that elbow?
All right, so that's the voice of Marcus Johnson, a former occasional contributor to Fox Sports Radio years ago. And I actually did a show with him a couple times. But he's the Milwaukee Bucks color commentator there, and he was talking about, he said, alligator wrestling. There's a lot of ambient noise. Now, I normally don't mind ambient noise, but that was fake ambient noise. That was canned crowd noise that was put in the broadcast, which annoyed me. That annoyed me because I wanted to hear what they were saying, and I had to like tune out the crowd noise, which was not even real crowd noise, etc. But the point of this is, so you had a dust-up between Antetokounmpo and Dante Hall. Antetokounmpo was restrained by the ref. He could be seen, if you're a mouth reader, saying, "I'm going to F him up," is what Giannis said about Hall. Now, cooler heads eventually prevailed, but let us discuss the question. Giannis Antetokounmpo, big star in the NBA, losing his temper. Is this something or nothing? Is this just a who cares? It's a one-off type deal. I'm going to disagree with that. It's nothing. It is absolutely something. And it's not just because I'm doing a monologue on it. I've got castration, blueprint, and the glitch. And we will connect all of this together, and we are going to make some cheese, some Wisconsin cheese. Now, first of all, this over-emotional reaction is out of character for Giannis Antetokounmpo. He has generally been a very calm player. The cliche calm, cool, and collected would apply to Antetokounmpo during his ascent as he goes up the mountain to the peak of basketball royalty, as he is the reigning MVP. And when you think of hothead players, he is not someone that you think of. I can give you a lot of players who are hotheads. Draymond Green, for example, comes to mind from the Golden State Warriors as someone who's snap at a moment's notice. Giannis is not that type of guy. But he has always been, to keep the composure. And I don't know if unflappable is the right word, but watching the play over and over again, thank goodness for the interweb, Antetokounmpo, it appeared, my frame-by-frame Zapruder film analysis, that Antetokounmpo was thunderstruck. He didn't expect this. He was overpowered physically by a reject, a G League type of ball player, which makes this a castration situation. Right? I mean, this is embarrassing. Antetokounmpo was bullied by a rookie cast-off for the JV Nets. That's not supposed to happen. That's not how the NBA works. Brooklyn was tossing out the flotsam and jetsam Anybody they could find, they were putting in a uniform. They were calling guys. It was like Major League. Hey, you want to play for Brooklyn? And they brought in Jamal Crawford, for example, and some other guys that had been out of the NBA. They were just trying to fill out the roster. And those guys in the second half beat the Milwaukee Bucks backups. Of course, the Bucks didn't play their top two guys. But even the bottom part of the Bucks roster should be better than the Nets players. That is an emasculating afternoon of NBA basketball. Now, the second point here, while many in the basketball media, I was looking at some of the reaction to this, and many in the basketball media were downplaying it and saying that it's just a one-time thing. We believe differently on this show. We believe this is something to file away and to certainly investigate further. Now, why is that? Every team that is looking at a date with the Milwaukee Bucks is doing what? They are looking to find a cheat code on how to slow down Giannis Antetokounmpo. He has been a supernova. Now, the criticism of Antetokounmpo is he's not really good at basketball. He's just a great athlete, and his athletic ability leads him to this. But as far as just pure basketball skills, he's not that great a shooter, and you know, he just overpowers people because of the way that he's got long arms and he's lean and mean and all that stuff. That's the criticism on Antetokounmpo. Going back to back, which is about what he's about to do here, the MVP. I mean, there's no way anybody other than Antetokounmpo wins the MVP award, leading the Bucks to the top record and dominating and all. It's all cool stuff. That said, Dante Hall, of all people, has handed others a blueprint on how to mess with Antetokounmpo, ruffle his feathers. Now, my theory is that you will see teams file that away for the impending postseason. Now, it's very rare in the NBA today, and one of the criticisms of the NBA is that they've gone from very physical to not physical at all, but that is what's called old school basketball. Bring on the goon squad, if you will, because if Dante Hall, who's played, I think, 5 or 6 NBA games in his young career there, if he out-muscles Giannis, and Giannis was so taken aback by that, he took umbrage to it, that he had this mortifying chain of events where he had to be held back by the officials, and he had that, you know, fake tough guy thing. That's usually what Kevin Garnett used to do back in the day. He'd wait for somebody to stand in front of him, and then he'd talk trash like he was going to attack somebody. Fake tough guy stuff. But if these teams are paying attention, we think they are, then you would expect a carbon copy down the line. I'm talking full late 80s, early 90s bad boy Pistons that were not the most talented teams. Yeah, Isaiah Thomas and Joe Dumars were pretty good, but that team had this aura around them, and they had Bill Laimbeer and Rick Mahorn, who were not gifted at basketball, and they used physicality and psychological warfare to perfection under the late Chuck Daly in that era. Now, you're not going to get to that level because you can't all of a sudden have a metamorphosis this late in the game, but there are some of the techniques that the bad boy Pistons used that you can use in your bag of tricks when you get into the playoffs. Now, final thought. So Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to have to prove that this is actually a one-off situation. Now, what do I mean by that? Is this physicality and this reaction where he snapped, is that a glitch? Have we found a glitch in the makeup of Giannis? Many of the origins of, you look at psychological warfare, and it's only about 100 pages, I think. It's less than 100 pages. The Art of War, Sun Tzu's book, The Art of War. And, you know, obviously we're talking about sports here, but the tricks, the manipulation, a lot of that originates from that book, The Art of War. And those things are very effective to this day. Sun Tzu was a genius. It's competition 101. And this will be tough for the modern styles, we said, of the NBA, where the only physical contact at most NBA games are the pre- or post-game hug, when they hug it out. But that is looked down upon. That's taboo now in the age of the coronavirus. But NBA playoff games are decided generally by razor-thin margins. Even when one team is much better than the other, oftentimes the games are very close. And so you're looking to gain a competitive advantage and throw off your opponent's rhythm and their focus. It's what anyone tries to do who plays sports. Competition, right? Competition is at 101. Teams will attempt to pester, provoke, and needle the Greek Freak, and we will find out whether or not he can handle it. And is that the way to neutralize him, to take away some of his superpowers? We'll find out. But he didn't play in the second half. And I wonder, just a little part of me wonders if Budenholzer was like, hey, wait a minute, man, you got to calm down. I'm going to sit you for the second half, and I'm going to spin this, and I'm going to say it's because I want to see my backups play. But who the hell wants to see the backups play? That's ridiculous. All right, here's the Ben Maller Show. You want to talk about any of that? It is all fair game here at 877-99 on Fox. If you'd like to be part, 877-996-6369. We've had a few new callers and a lot of old regulars that have called into the show. Later this hour, we're going to have Too Much or Not Enough. And Roberto is not here. He's out all week. And in his place, we have Chris. And Chris, you claim you're a chef, right? You cook a lot, Chris. Is this accurate?
Yeah, so my family's Italian, so we all cook, and you know I do a lot of Japanese cooking on the side too. But you asked me about Roberto. Well, I asked you about Roberto's recipe.
Yeah, you brought that up. Yeah. We do cooking with Roberto, but you want to do like a rip-off version? We can call it cooking to perfection, right? Is that what you call it? I think that's
we can do that.
Yeah. All right. Do you have a dish you want to give the recipe to?
It later is. I can do that later.
What kind of food are we? A good Italian?
I'm going to give my own vodka sauce recipe.
All right, a little vodka sauce. All right, very good. So we'll debut, and since Roberto took the week off, we'll have cooking to perfection. We'll have that later in the hour. And the geographical advantage. One NFL player believes that his team has a geographical advantage going into the 2020 season. We will examine that. We'll get to it, and we will do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's Maller 2020, and you can be heard in the democracy of the Ben Maller Show. We encourage and welcome the voice of the people. That would be you. Following the voice of this show on Twitter, he's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow tonight's technical producer. I think it's the last night for him this week. He has been sitting in for Roberto. He is not perfect, but he is perfect. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Perfett, P-E-R-F-E-T-T.
I'm not even going to touch Swamp Man here.
And we've got, what's the name of the segment coming up here?
Well, Eddie, it's a new segment. Yeah. It's Cooking to Perfection.
All right. Well, that's coming up here in a few minutes. And
I'll live from the Gun Barrel. We're making some Italian sauce.
I heard. Yeah, sounds good. And now live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios, it's Ben Maller.
It's going to get saucy in here. It's going to get saucy.
Oh, boy.
No, nice. You don't like that? All right. I'm trying to promote the bit. I'm trying to get people excited for the bit. It's very important to promote. Promote. We'll have Too Much or Not Enough coming up. There's another bit if you would like to be part of that. You can start calling now, 877-99 on Fox. Rob in Vegas says, I give your Bucks-Nets monologue a solid B+, but I've got to give you your sound guy an F, he says. What the hell was the deal with the audio clip? I think I heard elbow, and that was it. Well, in fairness, that was a TV call. And if we didn't have a radio call, if we had a radio call, it would have been better. But that was a TV call. And for some reason, the TV guys have that ambient crowd noise turned all the way up to make it seem like it's a real broadcast. But it drowns out the voice of the guys you want to hear. So if you're on an audio platform, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Justin in Cincinnati says, I don't like this stealing Roberto's bit. I don't trust Chris, he says. All right. Well, Justin in Cincinnati, Chris.
Well, I don't trust Justin.
You shouldn't trust Justin. Justin has had every kind of illness you could possibly have. He is he could write a book with all the crap that he's had there. Let's see, can't read that one on the air. Bubba, here's Bubba. He writes and he says, if that's all it takes, Ben, to throw off the MVP of the NBA, Giannis Antetokounmpo, then whoever plays the Bucks in the finals needs to sign the worm, because getting under a player's skin was his specialty. Now, Arik in Minnesota writes, and he says, Ben, I'm not a fan of the NBA, but you talk about it, so I feel I need to know some NBA. Am I correct, Arik says, that if the playoffs were to start today, all the teams from 8 to 13 would be in some, tournament to get into the playoffs? Well, that's not as I understand. The way it was told to me and I don't know if I'm right on this, but I was told that if the number 9 team is within 4 games of the number 8 seed, then they will have a play-in tournament, but the 8 seed will have the advantage because they only have to beat the 9th seed one time, and the 9th seed would have to beat the 8th seed twice. You see, I should be like, it's not even a best of 3. I know, it's very confusing. So if the 9th seed loses the first game, then I believe there's a second game. But then if they lose that, actually, no, I think the way it works, wait a minute. Now, Let me figure this out here. So the 9th seed, if they lose the first game to the 8th seed, then that's it. But if they win, they play again, and if they have to win that, and if they lose, then they're out. So you have to win 2. The 8th seed only has to win 1.
Los Angeles, yeah, hello.
I don't know. What's the NBA going to do, though, if there's like a tie for the 9th spot, which in the Western Conference – could certainly be the case. Right now, Memphis is the last team in. Portland is, they've got one more loss than San Antonio, but they are technically a half game ahead of the Spurs for the final playoff spot. But the Suns, everyone's bunched up. Everyone's bunched up within, that's boring. But I'm doing bubble talk. I'm doing boring bubble talk. That's a bad job by me. Let's go to the phones here. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Let's say hello to Sir Scratchoff, who's up next. Hello, Sir Scratchoff.
Hey, Mr. Ben. How are you, sir?
I'm better than your St. Louis Cardinals. I know that.
Boy, ain't that pitiful? You know, I told you my wife, being a nurse 30 years, we was talking about that the other day. And you know, I want to tell you something. It's awful funny how these guys are getting sick with this stuff, but all of a sudden they're well, all of a sudden, like 2 or 3 days later, you know. And I've got 2 nieces and 2 nephews that came down with this stuff in Nashville and Columbia.
Yeah.
And they've been in this for like a few days. And it's just kind of funny how these players are getting well all of a sudden and we're playing baseball, you know.
That's what we've read online. If you're a young person and you're in good health, it's from like 99% are going to be fine. And fortunately, that's been the case with the athletes.
Yeah, and you know what? You know, also, you got some good baseball teams right now that's really, really doing a good job. I mean, you got the Yankees, you got the, of all people, you got the Cubs, and you got the Padres. I mean, I'm just watching.
Padres? What are you talking about? Padres? Padres look good. I like, the Padres change their uniforms every 4 or 5 years. I like this current Padre. They have the brown and gold. They've got the pinstripes and all that. But you did not mention the Colorado Rockies, who I think are off to the best start in franchise history, and they were supposed to blow this year. And after 10 games, they're off to an 8-2 start. They're playing very well.
Yeah, and I'm enjoying being back out here. You know, I had to take off a couple years working, work 1 year a day to be off my rank. And I'm glad to be home now during daytime because I get my sleep early, and I'm watching sports. I mean, I'm into watching all this sports. And I'm ready for football, Ben. I'm a big NFL person, and I'm ready to see what my Rams are going to do.
Look at this. Yeah, they're going to hit some guys is what they're going to do.
Yes, sir. But one more thing. I got to tell you something, and I'm going to let you have it. I'm tickled to death to see what the L.A. Lakers are doing right now. I mean, I'm seeing that they already clinched that seed. And, you know, LeBron, he can still come up MVP. You know, I told Cooper.
He's not going to be. Stop that. It's not even close.
Stop it.
That's ridiculous. I'm going to hang up on you. That's embarrassing, Sir Scratch. I love you, Sir Scratch. I mean, what's wrong with you? Did Coop put you up to that? Was that a mandate from Koopaloop?
No.
Come on. I mean, really? LeBron hasn't even looked that good since he came back here in.
Who, me?
Yeah, the bubble. I did see him pat himself on the back, though. He was like to pat himself on the back the other day. All right. So Richard Sherman, formerly the spokesperson for the Legion of Boom in Seattle, currently hanging out in Seattle, actually in San Francisco, in the Bay Area. Well, actually San Francisco, Santa Clara. And he claims that the 49ers have a geographical advantage in the age of the pandemic, because he claimed there is no nightlife in Santa Clara. Now, I don't know this firsthand. I've been to Santa Clara. I've never gone to any clubs or anything like that. Maybe that's why there are no clubs there. But Sherman said that the Niners, those guys all live right around there, obviously, and they near the 49er facility, and there's nowhere to really go out and have a wonderful time because of social distancing. He said the Niners are in a better situation than, he mentioned, teams like the Atlanta Falcons, the Miami Dolphins, the Las Vegas Raiders, and the Cowboys and Texans, because those teams have the option of going out because those places are more open than California, and especially Santa Clara in particular, he was saying. And that's not actually like shocking. You know, I was going to talk more about that, but I was like, it kind of makes sense. It's not redonkulous that if stuff's closed where you are and there's not that much nightlife anyway, I guess the Green Bay Packers would have a real advantage. Right? There's not anything to do in Green Bay after like 9 o'clock. They roll the whole town up. That's it. It's over.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Ben, I don't know if you saw the story, but as I was leaving here yesterday morning, we got a report from the New York Post, of all places, that there was a shooting at a big party in Beverly Hills, and that apparently they reported that it was an NFL player's birthday party. But come to find out now, after the dust has settled, the reports now say that there is no evidence that there was an NFL player at this party, at this shooting in Beverly Hills. It was apparently a gang-related shooting that left one dead and two critically injured.
In Beverly Hills?
In Beverly Hills, wow. Yeah. Mulholland Drive mansion party.
Whoa. How about that? That doesn't normally happen on Mulholland Drive, Eddie.
No, that is true, yes.
Yeah, that's... Wow, okay. Wow. See if anything develops from that story, if that's the end of it. Sounds like it could be the end of it there. Don't believe those kind of Weasley, right? I mean, there's things you don't believe that turn out to be true, and there's things you do believe that turn out not to be true. So it's, yeah. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show as we press on filibustering the overnight hours away. Although we're apart these days, we're sharing more, and Geico is sharing more too. With the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for both current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Ed, Fast Eddie, writes, and he says, at what point do the Celtics have a bad coach? I better ask a national so I don't get blocked. Would you get blocked by the local guys? Well, that was an embarrassing loss for the Celtics, though. They lost to Miami, and Jimmy Butler did not play. That is a humiliating situation for the Celtics. I also point out, though, like the Celtics, you know, that's one of those teams that talent-wise should make a run. Maybe they will make a run in the playoffs, but there's a team, you know, a couple of those guys there, let's just say they did not appear to have much basketball on their mind during the 4 months away, especially Jason Tatum. Some of the comments coming from Jason Tatum, you're like, hey, well, wait a minute, what's going on with it? What's going on with you? He didn't have a hoop at his house. He was like, he's become like a PGA guy. He's a big golf guy, and that's his new thing. He's addicted to golf, and interesting. Who else do we have? Let's see here. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Let's go. Maller Prop Guy writes in, with sincere apologies to No Help in Minnesota. You described your NBA playoff possible scenario answer as to a tweet as boring talk. Is it a coincidence, Ben, that the question was sent from a Minnesota listener? The snores placed by Chris were perfect, he said. So there you go. You enjoyed that. All right, let's play the game. Here we go. Hit that button right there.
It's another Ben Maller game.
We've endured too many of these.
Is it too much or not enough?
Enough already.
Well, let's play the game. We welcome in our contestant, and we say hello to Derek, listening in the great state of Maine, far away from Whoopi Pie Blair. Hello, Derek.
Hey, how's it going, Ben?
Welcome in, Derek, to the show. Good to have you. Tell the guy in Beaver Dam who's got a friend in Punxsutawney who knows somebody in Rancho Cucamonga what you do for a living.
Oh, I'm a lineman for Coots Brothers in Maine.
There you go. And are you...
Yeah, I'm actually going on a storm right now.
Oh, okay. I got you. All right, so you're up. Are you normally up at this hour? Probably not. This is a weird...
No, I usually wake up around 4:30, and I listen to you from about 5 to 6 when I start work.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. And I'm guessing this is a lot. It's going to be a busy day for you today, huh?
Yeah, we're probably going to be on storm for probably a few days. We got about 80,000 mile power here, about 600,000 in New York. So we don't know where we're going yet, but.
Wow, that's exciting. So you got to get in the car, and you got to figure out where the outage, where the poles are down and where they need you, and then you got to repair all that crap. What a pain in the ass.
Yeah, Central Maine Power, they tell us where we're going, so we just wait for our orders.
Okay, all right. Well, good luck. There's people dying to get their power back. They want to get that power back. All right, well, good luck to you. We hope you start your day with a win here, Derek. And all you have to do is get 3 questions right to win, and it's pretty simple. So here we go. Question number 1. Only 4 pitchers in big league history have won more consecutive decisions than Gerrit Cole at 19, going back to his days with the Astros. Is that too much or not enough?
Oh, it's definitely not enough.
All right, Derek says definitely not enough. Let's find out if he's right. That is correct. Not enough. There has been 6 pitchers. There have been 6 pitchers to win more consecutive decisions. So you're off to a good start. 1-0. Derek Cole pitching well. He must be cheating still with the Yankees. All right, question number 2. This will be the 7th time in LeBron James's career that his team will have been the top seed in the conference he was playing in at that time. Is that too much or not enough?
Oh, geez, that's got to be pretty close to 7 at least. I'll go with too much.
All right, Derek says too much here. He thought it out. You could hear his logic. Let's find out if that's right. That is correct. Too much. This is the 5th time in LeBron's career. The last 2 times he won a title, but that streak's, of course, going to come to an end this year. All right, question number 3. You get this right, you've run the board, you have a chance to keep going. Here we go. Fernando Tatis Jr., of the Padres, is the 6th shortstop in big league history to have 25 home runs prior to his 22nd birthday. Is that too much or not enough?
6 shortstop to have 25 home runs. I'll say that's too much.
All right, Derek, he's been sharp so far. Let's find out if Derek is right again. That is correct. Good job by you. We've already won the game. We're going to keep going. Tatis is only the 3rd shortstop to accomplish that. Joins A-Rod and that cheating Carlos Correa of Houston. All right. Question number 4. Here we go. We'll give you an extra golden ticket. Get these last 2 right. Mike Trout has homered 33 times in his career against the Seattle Mariners. Is that too much or not enough?
Too much.
All right. Derek says too much. He's been on a roll. Let's see if the streak continues.
Not this time.
No, not enough. That's all right. He actually has 42 home runs against the Mariners, who are like a AAA team there in Seattle. Yeah, that's a lot. All right, well, Derek, listen, you won the game. You get yourself a golden ticket.
Wow. Thanks.
All right, good luck. Good luck today putting the power back together there in Maine, and stay safe. All right.
Thanks. Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks, man.
All right, be good. There you go. See, there's a guy. You don't really think much about the power until it goes out, and then you're like, oh, crap. Like, oh. It's like the internet. You know, the internet goes down. You're like, oh, I got the internet, whatever. I'm like, and then it goes down. You're like, oh, man, what a pain in the ass. But the power grid, man. All right, well, good luck to Derek as he goes around and tries to put stuff back together that knocked down. My brother sent me some videos there. He lives in New York. It didn't really hit New York that bad. It just passed through pretty quick there. You got the tail end, I guess, of it in New York City. All right, we will press on. And with Roberto away, we will play Cooking to Perfection. And we will be making a sauce. What kind of sauce are we making here, Chris?
Called vodka sauce. It's a traditional
vodka
Italian
sauce. This goes back 100 years in Chris's family to the old country. And we will
Not
make
quite.
It. Just go with it. God, oh,
like
you guys.
Like 70 years.
Oh, my. All right. We will have Cooking to Perfection. And we'll get to that. We'll do it next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Only a few rare birds are able to listen to all 4 hours of the Ben Maller Show live overnight. But thanks to podcasting, you have no excuse to miss a second of our unorthodox chatter. Subscribe to the Ben Maller Show podcast on iTunes and give us 5 stars. It's quick, painless, and a noise management. And now live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
That it is. We are just seconds away from Cooking to Perfection. It's a spinoff of Cooking with Roberto. Get that coming up in a minute. Manic Mike says, Ben, like the power and the internet, listeners do not think too much about you until Jonas fills in. That's a cheap shot. How dare you, Manic Mike? And my friend Jonas, a happily married man, I think. I was at his wedding a few weeks ago. Maller prop guy writes in, says, Derek, the power lineman.
We don't need to bring Jonas in.
He's an essential worker doing God's work, performing God's work, ensuring minimal interruptions to Maller Militia listeners and podcast downloaders. What fifth hour masterpiece is Derek protecting for your listeners this week? Well, Maller Prop Guy, we have not officially booked anyone yet for the weekend edition of the show, the fifth hour. What am I talking my ass here? The fifth hour with Ben Maller. And we have a couple people that we've requested, so we'll see who actually ends up on the Friday interview. We usually do an interview on Friday or hang in with us and then do some other nonsense over the weekend. Here we go. It's time to open up the kitchen doors here, and it's Cooking to Perfection. Make way now. Hi. For his last night on the show. Chris is in here. He's excited, and you're going to give us a recipe that goes back many generations.
Many generations. That's many, right. Someone say almost to the Romans themselves.
To the old country.
To the old country.
See,
the
now
old,
you're playing. Now you're playing along. Now you're playing along. Good job by you.
Okay. All right, well, before we start, first off, Tony Cristo on Twitter wanted to know how you say charcuterie. That's how you say it, charcuterie. All right, now on to the recipe.
Well, whatever you say. I learned from Tom Looney that whenever you don't know how to say a word, just mumble it. That's what I learned. So, yeah.
Tom Looney. Don't anyway, play that. Let's get into it. So this is going to be a pasta sauce. So first thing you want to do, this is vodka sauce. First thing you want to do is you're going to get some Roma tomatoes or plum tomatoes, whatever you have. You want some sweet onions. You're going to dice those up real fine, right? You're going to slice up some garlic, you know, like they talk about in The Godfather, so thin it's going to melt.
I love when they, and also, was it the prison movie, they slice the garlic real thin, too.
Yeah,
what was that?
No, I was thinking Goodfellas.
You said Godfather.
Goodfellas.
Goodfellas.
That was the thing of Goodfellas.
Right. I love that movie.
Bad job by me. So you take those, you're going to saute them for a few minutes with some olive oil, get them a little roasty, and then when you're ready, we're going to get them drunk, all right? We're going to transfer them to a pot. You're going to put in a little bit of vodka. I always put in I'd say a half inch or so.
So these are going to be schnockered, all right? They're going to be schnockered.
Yeah, so right. I like to let some of the vodka evaporate so they like get in the vegetables themselves. You're moving this to a pot. Why? Because most pasta sauce using like a white wine for a base. Vodka sauce, using vodka. That's why it's called.
False advertising.
Don't get some bad vodka too. Don't go like super bottom shelf. You want something that's not going to have bite to it. Yeah.
So you can't go to the Dollar Tree or whatever.
Dollar General. Get something decent. I usually just have some Smirnoff. That's fine. That's fine enough. So you're going to get that in there, and then we're going to add the sauce. Now, big secret: you're going to want to use crushed tomatoes. Don't use like tomato paste. Don't use tomato sauce. Get crushed tomatoes. Get some texture in there.
All right, so gotta crush it. It's all about the texture. Yeah.
Now you're going to add the spices. Most important, red pepper in there. You got to add the crushed red pepper flakes. I usually throw in some, you know, Italian seasoning, some salt, some black pepper. Yeah. And then over another thing, whip up whatever you're going to put in there. Some prosciutto, whip that up. You're going to want some Italian sweet sausage, whip that up, throw that in there, bam. You know, some portobello mushrooms, bam.
So put it all get in those, there. Put everything, grill, anything grill you want up. In it. Yeah.
Grill it up, but then you're going to put in the sauce, and you let that simmer for about like 15 minutes. It'll get the place smelling really good.
Now, what if you put some Italian like seasoning in that? You can put that in there too, right?
Yeah, you can put that in there too. Yeah, I do. I also add a shot of like chicken broth, just get a little earthy in there.
I like that.
So once that's all simmered up, when you're ready to about serve it, you're going to pour some heavy cream in there until it turns orange, some Parmesan cheese, then to add in there, and then put a little basil on there, and then serve it over like penne or rotini.
That's all you need. And you'll send out the recipe on Twitter.
I'll put it on Twitter.
Cooking to Perfection.
Do it live.